roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, STAB's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called STAB.
Let's play STAB. Let's play it. Welcome everyone to STAB. Thank you for coming. Live studio audience, thank you for being live studio audience. Give yourselves a hand.
Thank you.
We have a very funny show today. Here we have Johnny Taylor. Hey. He is 38?
37.
Around a year though, for sure. 37 years old.
Can't tell by my hair.
He looks older. Mm-hmm. But close to 40. You look 46.
Thank you.
40. But Johnny Taylor has a comedy album called Tangled Up in Plaid that was just released on iTunes, debuting at number 7. So we should all suck his dick. John Gamora, he's 10. He's 10. He's the opposite of Johnny Taylor's age.
Hello.
What do you do? What's your gig?
My most of the time I just hang out in a coffee shop by my college and then just
your college?
My college that I go to.
Oh, okay.
My college that I go to, and then just sit there and pretend like I'm a member of society.
But okay. John Gamora, everyone. John Gamora. A new friend to the show. He's never done STAB before. That's not an excuse. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Gannon. He's right there. Did you have something to say, Jordan?
Hi.
Would you like a bite of my pastry?
No.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
It's it's a good thing.
Delish.
Sharing is caring.
No. Right. And last on the panel down there, he's here today.
Yeah.
And I'm glad about it. Jesse Jones.
This is what I do.
This is what you do?
This is home.
You just do STAB.
Yeah.
Thank you for
that's all my life is anymore.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Isn't that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's play STAB. This first segment is called Write a Poem About It. You guys have been asked to write poems about these things. Johnny, you were asked to write a poem about Leonardo DiCaprio. John Gamora, you were asked to write a poem about Princess Diana. Jordan Gannon?
Please get it right.
You were asked to write a poem about the first time you wore yoga pants. Mm. And Jesse Jones, you were asked to write a poem about Night Court's Bull from Night Court. Bull from Night Court. We're going to start with Johnny Taylor with his poem about Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'll be honest, it's hard to come up with anything about Leonardo DiCaprio. But I do want to say roses are red. Mm-hmm. Violets are blue. Titanic still sucks. So die.
That didn't rhyme.
It's Freebirds. No.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Up next, Jonathan Gamora, with your poem about a gout. It's a new phrase I'm using. Tell me a gout, Princess Diana.
I didn't think this would be so soon. I decided to do mine in the vein of Nicki Minaj's rap to Princess Diana, because I feel like there's always been animosity between them. Princess D, you dead because you can't handle the limelight. Paparazzi's your biggest fan if you hoe right. They follow you till you love them. Papa, cap in your ass, bitch, your death was planned. Heir apparent, my dear, I'm bug repellent. Use a roach. Don't cry, Harry, the true queen present. Thank you.
That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Jordan Gannon, popping his cherry. via write a poem about it in regards to the first time you wore yoga pants. Let's hear some poem about it.
I wrote two poems. Is okay. that okay?
Yes, why not?
Is that okay? Yoga pants. As I walked out of the O'Farrell Theater in the Tenderloin, sun blazing down upon my eyes for the first time in days, my loins still tender from four marathon days of passion. Tight, semen-stained Pantera shirt riding up on my belly. My now threadbare Lululemon bottoms hugging my sore fruit, which ripened yet again. As a bearded man passed by, he looked, then paused, and looked again, and winked as both we walked into the Starbucks.
All right, that was good. Starbucks.
The second poem, entitled The First Time I Wore Yoga Pants, or Coming of Age as a Christian Missionary, or An Anachronistic Poem About My Time on Heathen Islands, or You Shouldn't Have Given Me That Blowjob That One Time in Our Cabin, or an NPR poem. On the shores of Lanakilaku, we danced and flipped upon our hands and made merry to the chiming of our bands. You played tabla drum to songs sung by firelight whilst the waves crashed in their unending canticle to the moon. And you said, let's sing a Magnificat. And it was said, yes, let's do that. And everyone got quiet before they soon began to whisper. Until Jesse picked up his guitar and played Brown Eyed Girl.
It's the only song I know.
And you gave up the tambourine in exchange for a swig of wine. And you gave up the tambourine in exchange for a swig of wine. To the sun-toasted hippie girl with flowers in her hair, with whom I'd only shared rap on the healing powers of sprouts, her lanky body now moving in jaunty bouts of uncoordinated force. I looked to you for reassurance of something in our course. You shrugged and turned back to the tune sung by our little commune, whilst the ocean made her unending praise of the moon. What I did not get from you... Why did I pursue the entirety of our days on Lanakilaku? As we had built, by sweating effort of carpentry, a church for those unrepentant sinners. And a shed to dry their meats. Not to mention cleared the brush from their overgrown streets. Taught them the sanctifying use of wheat. Convinced their women to cover their overexposed teats. And forced them to work in the heat. What was it for? And why would you not speak to me after giving me a sea salt sweaty blowjob behind the dairy? Was it the pants, those tight form-fitting pants? Was your pursuit not because of them? Or was it in spite of the tight hammock I wore for my bulbous fruit? We made merry and flipped upon our hands to the singing of our bands, reveling in the work he has made, christening the land with regret and our toil, dropping our seed to the soil as we danced by the sunless sea in our yoga pants.
I'm crying. Oh. I think I cried for three different reasons. did tears fall from my face? Jesse Jones.
Yeah. The old Bull from Night Court
poem. Yeah.
This is really gonna follow that. This poetry robot Jordan King.
Well done.
Well, yeah, very well. Better than Newhart, superior to Cheers. Night Court, I still miss you after all of these years. The reason stood 6 2/3 foot tall. That scene-stealing giant, smooth-pate Richard Mall. Again, not quite the audience.
We're old. Yeah. Johnny and I are.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The fans love this goof, and I wasn't exempt. Like him to lead me to his chambers, let him hold me in contempt. Sure, maybe the show's star was Rye Harry Anderson, one-liners and card tricks that all were so corny. But all I tuned in for was the giant hairless Manderson, the simpleton bailiff who made me so horny. Yes, the cast was a blast. On this show built to last, Marky Post at the most made me smile for a while. And oh, you can bet Larroquette made me wet. But that tall Richard Mull made me pull on my bull.
Ah. That was a wonderful, wonderful write a poem about it. That's the way we want to start a show. Yeah. Following in poetic verse, this is called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Mm-hmm. The topic, nothing is more topical than white privilege. How about three haikus about it? Haiku about it? Haiku is about it. Johnny Taylor, with your first of three haikus.
I call this one Rite Aid. I walk in a store. No one even notices. I steal hella stuff.
John Gamora, the first of your three.
I'm going to start with the best. This one's called this one's called Bill O'Reilly. Oh, oh, O'Reilly, don't believe in you anyway. O'Reilly, racism.
Powerful.
Great.
Powerful.
Jordan, poetry, robot, cannon.
Justice for Mike Brown. Ha! How about justice was served by Darren Wilson?
Wow.
Mm. Got hot in here. Can you say it in that voice again?
I don't agree. It's turned. Jesse Jones, the first of three of your white privilege haiku.
My first is titled Data Shackles. I do. I get it. The horrors of slavery. Verizon contract.
Your second of three.
This one's called White Philadelphia Eagles Wide Receiver That You Might Have Remembered From a Year Ago. Riley Cooper yells, he'll fight all blacks at the show. There were none there, bro.
Great. It even rhymed. It was a rhyming haiku.
I didn't do that on purpose.
Great job. John Gamora, the second of your three.
Okay, this one is called Thank You by Alanis Morissette. Haven't been pulled over, not shot buying some Skittles. Thank you, God, I'm white.
It's touching.
Too real.
Jordan.
This one doesn't have a title yet. Our Yet. Prison system is overburdened by thugs who shouldn't even be here.
That was a truth torpedo.
Did I misunderstand the point of the exercise?
No, I had water in my mouth. Couldn't talk. Jesse Jones, your second of third.
Well, since we seem to be on a theme of law enforcement in our second round, mine is entitled DWB. Hello, officer. How black was I driving there? Just kidding. High five.
I'm really uncomfortable doing this third one. Your third of three haiku?
It was almost like mine was a sequel.
Okay.
To Jesse's.
Okay.
I like to call this one Mill Valley. Getting pulled over. Nerves start to get really fried. Oh, wait. I'm not black.
All right. That was a sequel.
Yeah.
Great job.
Do you want me to come up with a different one?
Yeah, we'll come back to you.
I can't work on this.
Okay. John Gamora.
This one is called I'm Legit Sorry. Haikus are for whites. The jail cells are for the blacks. Life is for whites, too. I'm legit sorry.
That's so weird you're going to put this on TV. Yeah.
This one's going on TV.
I hope there's context. Yeah, a little bit. Not enough context in the world. Yeah.
Jordan?
This one's a two-parter. What's wrong with privilege? It's earned. You mean to imply life's incidental? You people have a choice about how to act every day. Don't mess up.
Is that 575?
Context. I think it was
2575.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, double. Well,
let's go to the haiku police. Let's go to the haiku judges. Okay, they said it was okay.
All of a sudden, my last one's cute and cuddly. Entitled Brown and Green. I am not racist. I treat my landscapers just like real people.
And that was topical. Haiku challenge. Let's move to the next segment, shall we? Called Reorganization. This group of gentlemen, all with the letter J's, the beginning of their names, including myself and JoJo and not Ben Rice. Everyone, you were given an acronym, an existing acronym. You were to reimagine this acronym, what it means now. Johnny Taylor, you were given OPP. John Gamora, you were given PTA. Jordan Gannon, you were given MSNBC. And Jesse,
yes.
You were given SWAK. Johnny Taylor, start us off with OPP.
OPP, how can I explain it? I'll take it frame by frame it. To have y'all jumping, shall we sing in it? O is for other, P is for people, scratch and temple. The last P? Well, that's not that simple. It's sort of like another way to call a crap a shittin'. It's four little letters that are missing here. You get in on occasion at your homie's toilet as a game. It seems I gotta start the explaining. Bust it. Poop, you guys. I'm talking about other people's poop.
I like it. I like it. Jonathan Gamora.
Okay. PTA. I have two, but to save time, I'm going to go with the less offensive one because I think we all need that. So PTA stands for the People's Tamagotchi Association. With the iPads and iPhones and media constantly flooding children's brainwaves, the PTA has taken it upon themselves to save every abused and neglected Tamagotchi in the world. Some Tamagotchis go 6 years without eating. They blink that they're hungry so many times. For $40 a day, you can save these Tamagotchis, you guys. But we're only saving the Tamagotchis V3s and up. So, sorry.
Thank you, John Gamora. Yes.
Thank you.
Applause. Jordan Gannon, you were given MSNBC.
MSNBC. Misogyny sucks. Now beat it, champs. Is a public school initiative for grades 4 through 6 to teach young champs, boys and girls, because we don't discriminate, that misogyny sucks. Yes, realizing we've got to get to them early, we've created this after-school extracurricular program that gathers kids around the mantra that hating on women just plain sucks. And if you ever have such urges, just beat it. There are a variety of tools and toys to help these developing young men and women to explore their desires while learning to beat misogyny into cold, fearful submission. Should I go on? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
MSNBC is a partnership with the formerly independent after-school program called CHAMPS. CHAMPS stands for Circumcision Hinders a Man's Personal Sex Life. And is an initiative for grades 6 through 8 to teach young champs that masturbation, not to mention sexual intercourse, is easier and more fun with a foreskin. CHAMPS allows people of all types to join and rediscover the pleasures of the foreskin in a safe, comfortable environment. If you don't have a foreskin, that's okay. CHAMPS provides psychological therapy for those still enduring the stunting trauma of having been mutilated shortly after birth. The first step is admitting that you are mutilated and the damage is more than skin deep. Once you've gone through the healing program of learning to love yourself again, you can proceed to the advanced course offered in collaboration with the Skin Program to teach stretching techniques for extending that miserable shaft covering what you have to mimic the role of a foreskin. In this after-school program, SKIN, which stands for... SKIN stands for... Oh, jeez. You'll learn to reclaim. You'll learn to reclaim your true your health right, your birthright, and a healthy long and dangly your birthright of a healthy long and dangly foreskin. In an intense exercise regimen, but in collaboration with Champs and MBC, you'll learn that anything is possible, from learning to love yourself again and stamping out misogyny through masturbation, and to extending your foreskin.
Good, gentlemen. Jesse Jones. Let's hear yours. Your acronym was SWAK.
Yeah, I wish I'd noticed that we were going to be doing the white privilege haiku before my SWAK. So yeah, SWAK now stands for Single White Aryan Knitters.
All the knitters.
Knitters.
Thank you. People, the new SWAC is a social group for like-minded members of the master race to get together and celebrate their superiority. At knitting, that is. Every Sunday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., our members get together to enjoy each other's company, share our favorite purling techniques, and celebrate the preservation of our genetic purity. Remember, this month's theme is Yes, We Clan. We encourage you to bring your favorite Ku Klux knitting projects. From cable knit white power nap blankets. White power nap blankets. I can never get it out right. To handmade can and bottle swastikoozies. You can also donate some time to our Knit Caps for Skinheads program to help keep our race warriors warm and toasty under those drafty old hoods. And don't forget, we'll be joining our sister group, the Flaming Cross Stitchers, to put the finishing touches on our 30-foot-long AIDS quilt next Wednesday. Then Thursday, join us outside the downtown Lancaster LGBT Community Center for our 9th annual Lighting of the AIDS Quilt.
That was reorganization. This next one is called Department of Tourism. All of you have been hired by this city to be the director of tourism, and I'd like to hear what reasons we should come to your city for. Johnny Taylor, you were given the City of America in 2114. John Gamora, you were given Sassyburg. Sorry. Jordan Gannon, you were given the polite township of proper etiquette and manners. And Jesse Jones, you were given the City of Angles. Yes, Angles. We're going to go ahead and start with Johnny Taylor, City of America in 2114. And America's not a city. Sorry about that.
Welcome to the City of America. Yeah. What used to be a huge country is now just a city. It's weird, but we think it works. There's only 211 people left because Ebola and wars over religion have managed to wipe out most of us. So in other words, you have a lot of space now. It's not very pretty anymore because the environment has been destroyed by years of abuse and plastic. Pretty much things made out of plastic fucked us. Didn't see that coming. Global warming turned out to be a thing. So it's super hot some places. But some places aren't that bad, and there's nobody living there anyway, so have at it. We've all decided Jesus was made up a while back, so we don't have to say under God during the Pledge of Allegiance anymore, so that's less annoying. If you don't want to visit here, I get it. It's not what it used to be. But you owe it to yourself to get out of that shithole city of Canada once in a while. America, less brown people than ever. There's no way this is getting on TV.
This is not getting on TV.
No, we're done. We're sort of wrapped, dude.
Johnny Gamora. Johnny Gamora.
You're my son now.
You were given the city of Sassyburg. Sassyburg.
Yes, in the city of Sassyburg. It's really hard to do with this one without being offended. whatever.
You're sassy.
The Sassyburg Department of Tourism wants you to stay away. We don't want you. But then Karen from HR would be a bitch about it, so come to Sassyburg, home of the bitch, land of the gay. Sassyburg is a small but perfect town located in the UK. Our prime export is USDA certified organic shit talking, which we farm year round and usually about you. We really only offer one tourist attraction, which is the largest marble sculpture of Rihanna in the world. Thank you.
I want to move there.
I owe you one, John. Jordan Gannon, please make us want to come to the city that we gave you, which is the polite township of proper etiquette and manners.
I don't know how... Okay. Dear sir or madame, enclosed, please find the brochure with advertisement from the polite township of proper etiquette and manners. Forgive us for this unsolicited intrusion upon your time and personhood. Do feel free to dispose of this communication at your leisure. We felt that it would be most estimable to send this publication to you, as we have learned of your proclivities from certain websites you do on occasion frequent. In the brochure, images of the polite township, the Capitol building where governance of our citizenry is concerned. We take utmost care to minister to those civil needs of the human. If you do feel you are slighted in any way during your stay here, if, for instance, a man here were to walk past you without raising his cap to yourself, if you are a lady or to your lady, you have recourse to file for grieve, where justice will be served in that manner which is customary, and in which our forefathers acted most justly. Image of a quaint diner. Do be sure to tip your waitress the proper percentage of the cost of your meal, or she may have recourse to the Ministry of Proper Etiquette for grievance of misdeed. And indeed, through careful execution of those most formal ceremonies of justice, including standing upon entrance of his lordship, to that of being quiet while your sentence is read. In the manner of our forefathers, you will be brought to understand the true depth of meaning that is contained in etiquette. Some say that it is pharisaical, and yes, to look into the heart of each man, individual by individual. And how shall society be maintained if there is not entrance to conversation and a proper term for discussion and a proper manner of exiting? No. How shall business... Oh, excuse me. I say, how shall society be maintained if there is not an entrance to conversation and a proper term for its discussion and a proper manner of exiting? How shall business be conducted? By whim and truancy? Vagrancy and taking of what one wishes without consent? And the frightening movements of the selfishness like demons lashing out or babies that do not know the difference from content, the difference between form and content? The difference between their desires and the multitude of conditions that are required to satisfy any one of them? At the theater, you will find multiple occasions... You will find multiple occasions to slight and be slighted by other monocle-wearing gentlemen surrounded by shawl-wearing mistresses, whom it would be most impolitic to point out as the women other than the wives of the men who call. Why would you do such a thing? Dear sir, you are to be arraigned on the morrow at the Court of Civil Affairs for libel and breach of contract, which you did sign on entering the most polite township of proper etiquette and manners. And which, knowing the terms and conditions of such contract, and having breached them upon the conclusion of arraignment, you will be stoned to death for your egregious and unacceptable behavior. Please do not be late to the arraignment, as it would be impolite.
Wonderful. Moving along, Jesse Jones, please bring us home with the City of Angles. The City of Angles.
City of Angles. Have you always had a Pythagorean theorem that a stylish, sophisticated, mathematically planned community might just make a cute place to call home someday? Well, we've got good hypotenuse for you. And it's called The City of Angles. And while that might sound hyperbolic, after you hear our pitch, all of your doubts will be polygon. A radiant of sunshine in an otherwise obtuse housing market. City of Angles is calculated for every variable in your hectare life. Want to keep your slopes and curves looking straight and sharp? Check out City of Angles' state-of-the-art fitness center located in Scalene Square. It's a great place to work out your bisectors and obliques. And afterwards, why not take a soothing dip in one of our many hot tubs, which are always kept at a steamy 90 degrees. A temperature that locals call just right. But now I'm wandering off on a tangent. The point is this. No matter what quadrant of the globe or side of the country you're on, you're no more than two planes away from the City of Angles. Yeah. Yeah. Bucket of puns spilled on this keyboard. And don't worry about your finances. City of Angles is an equilateral opportunity renter. Yeah, thought there weren't any more. No, there's more. And no irrational offer will be refused. So after you've read over the terms on your isosceles, just sign on the dotted line. Or if you feel like your credit might have a negative arc, City of Angles always accepts a cosine.
Well done, gentle persons. Oh, boy.
Great job, guys.
Great job.
We're going to keep playing Stab. Well, this next segment is called The Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Johnny Taylor, you were given the profile of a non-specific comedian from Sacramento who just released a comedy album that debuted in the top 7 on iTunes. Jordan, you were given a jaded 40-year-old... 48.
John.
Jordan John. Whatever. John Gamora. Yes. You were given the dating profile of a jaded 48-year-old widowed mother of 6. Jordan Gannon, you were given space. And Jesse, you were given Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm going to go ahead and start with Johnny Taylor. And okay.
Username is Johnny Taylor. Hey, ladies. You might recognize me from being right in between Louis C.K. and Robin Williams on the iTunes comedy charts. That was a really good hour. I'd like to share a really good hour with you. I mean, not as good as the hour that I committed to recording for my top 7 iTunes and critically praised stand-up comedy record, but still, a pretty good hour nonetheless. My likes are eating and drinking and talking about interesting things, like my album, Tangled Up in Plaid, available on iTunes. Did I mention that I have an album out? It's called Tangled Up in Plaid. You can also get it on Amazon if you don't do the Apple thing. If you like me, message me and let's make out with my album sometime. There's a lot of other spaces that I just copied the link to the album on iTunes. Thank you, that's all.
Great.
Thanks, Taylor. John Gamora, your profile is from a jaded 48-year-old widowed mother of 6.
Okay, this comes from One Less Spa Day, 449. By this point in my life, I should have been home free, but unfortunately we forgot to pay the fee for my dead husband's life insurance. So here I am, round 2, to make sure my Benz doesn't get repoed. I guess I should tell you about my kids. Well, we have Kevin, who's 20 at Chicago State. We paid for 4 abortions already, so good for him. Nick is 16, probably gay. I like him. Carrie is 14. She's a vegetarian who lives on nothing but Morningstar vegetarian chicken strips dipped in Hidden Valley buttermilk ranch. So her fart box is something so rancid, you guys. She talks shit about her siblings, though, so she's like a champ. We have Holly, who's 9. Who? Cole, who's 12, who does boy things. And then The biggest mistake of my life, little 2-year-old Donatella, you guys. She's just a tragedy. My interest includes money, fundraisers, potlucks, and my self-started charity for brown people. Speaking to managers, getting convinced by my gay hairstylist to get a bob. Haggling at department stores, trips to Morro Bay in the Mazda 5. The wine country, everything Kathy Griffin, and and the spinning class Laverne from work turned me on to. What else? The things you should know about me. I'm still fun, and you guys can find me on Snapchat. My dislikes include scrubs, when kids spill things in my Valentino white bag, and realizing the severity of my situation. Can't live without my Range Rover, my 19-year-old Venezuelan pool boy. Who's ready to play cheaper by the half dozen with me? Everyone has HPV, right? You're in for a bumpy ride.
Jordan Gannon.
All right.
it's your turn, John Gamora. Great job. Sorry for bleeding before your thing. Jordan Gannon, dating profiles of the fictional and non-fictional. Your profile is to be from space.
All right, dating profile, space. My details. Body type, more to love. Diet, if it moves, I will partake of it. Smokes when drinking, drinks socially. Job, prefer not to say. Speaks in riddles, geometry, both Euclidean, non-Euclidean. Self-summary. So let's get this out of the way. My name is Space, and I bet I'm one of the few people on here whose given name is the essence of who they are. LOL. For those of you that don't get it, I am all space. Not just a space cadet. Which some people say I am, JK. I enclose the entirety of all being into myself. Like I said, a lot of people don't get that. They say, you just between the planets and stars and stuff? And I say, what do you think the planets is made of? Are they not having length and width and height? Here's a hint to all the haters. They do, okay? Low JK. A lot of people ask me, are you just like an empty container? And I'm like, that's rude. So to the rude guys who say that I'm like that, you couldn't fill me up if you tried. Nah, but I get that all the time, so I'm used to it. And honestly, for people who don't know me, it is an honest question, so I'll answer. I'm the condition for all possible relations of dimension. Otherwise, you'd be mighty cozy with your exes and your boss, LOLOL. Because how could you, like, be in one place and they in another? You couldn't. And people are like, does that mean you just a concept and there are things in the universe and there is no container? But just, like, things in relation to each other? And I say, you trying to say I don't exist or only exist in your mind? Okay, Mr. Rude, block profile. Okay, ultimately, I know all about your type, and I'm just going to ignore you guys. Just like, ignore. I'm so done with that kind of immaturity. First things people notice about me. Two things. First, I'm not plain. I'm not a plain Jane. I got curves in all the dimensions, and I know how to work them. Second, that I'm just like there. I'm just there for you. Like, I don't want to get all hella proud on myself, but like, if you think about it, I've always been there for you. Also, I'm honest. With me, what you see is what you get. I ain't gonna try and hide from you. It's all you fools who think you can hide from me. Six things I could never do without. The three dimensions. The Higgs boson, number itself, my fave galaxies and electrons. It's the little things that give perspective to the big ones. Shout out to y'all wherever you are. JK, I am where you are. My iPod, my iPad, iPhone, and my family. I spent a lot of time thinking about everything, just everything. I'm a little scatterbrained, LOL, just JK. I'm always just in the moment. Favorite books, movies, TV, Newton's Principia, so cute. Elements by Euclid, also cute. Critique of Pure Reason, I like to hate read that. Einstein's General Relativity, I know where he gets me, which is a turn on, but cool it on the mass, you know. TV shows, Fringe. Music, the music of the spheres. Movies, everything. I'm such a film buff. I try to get to every filming and release party, and I have pretty much made it to everyone, like, ever. Don't get all impressed. I like go to superstar and supernova events all the time as part of my work, and TBH is not as impressive as you might think. Typical Friday night. Okay, so this reminds me. I'm sorry. I've got to mention, I am in a committed relationship with time. Don't ask me for how long, LOL. You have to ask him. But yeah, we're pretty much inseparable, at least for now, JK. I don't get that joke. He made me put that in there. Anyway, if you want to get with me, you have to accept that I am already in a fully committed relationship. That doesn't mean you won't have all of me to explore and that I won't give you everything I can, because I will, generally unconditionally, and time will even get involved because we can't help it. We're freaky that way. So you must be okay with a multi-way. Jesus. What I'm doing with my life. Okay, couple things. First, I'm expanding. That's something you got to get to learn to live with. I have been for at least 13 and a half billion years, and it doesn't look like I'm going to slow down anytime soon. So if you got a problem with that, move on. I'm not insecure about it, and you should learn to love yourself too. I'm not going to get all preachy about it, but I've just come to the point where I know who I am. And don't want to judge you. Don't judge. You should message me if you're DTF, want to be in me, and want to feel me inside of yourself. Disclaimer, I've had a lot of people in me. Don't let that turn you off. It just means that I'm more interesting, though. With consent laws changing, things might be awkward because everything has been unspoken so far. And I'm not a size queen or nothing, but if you think you can fill me up, message me. Looking to get freaky with my wormholes and black holes if you can find them. Oh.
It really is too much of a good thing.
I know, I'm sorry. I apologize.
It was about space.
What very few what shows where I'm brief.
What were we doing again? Dating profiles, the fictional and or yes. Non-fictional. Jesse Jones, you were given data.
Yeah.
From Star Trek The Next Generation.
Data.
This is an OurTime.com profile for singles over 50. Email sung.5.data@starfleet.ga. Last online, stardate 45959.1. Looking for friendship, travel partner, pen pal. Education, graduate of Starfleet Academy, 2348. Height, 173 centimeters. Body type, I am composed of 24.6 kilograms of tripolymer composites, 11.8 kilograms of molybdenum cobalt alloys, and 1.3 kilograms of bioplast sheeting. My upper spinal column is a polyalloy, while my skull is composed of cordonide and duranium. Average build. Eyes, yellow. Ethnicity, Sung type, android. Children, one child, deceased. Pets, one feline, designated spot. Smoking preference, non-smoker. Personality questions. Do you enjoy cooking? I neither like nor dislike the act of preparing meals. How patient do you consider yourself? I am neither patient nor impatient. I am simply capable of waiting indefinitely for responses to queries and arrivals at predetermined meeting points. Do you enjoy going to the movies? I neither enjoy nor dislike going to the movies, but I'm able to sit quietly through the viewing of a film and participate in discussion of the story logic and technical aspects of it thereafter. How much do you enjoy going to live theater? I neither enjoy nor dislike going to live theater. But I can appreciate the time and effort put forth by all individuals involved to perform their interpretation of the material to the best of their abilities. How much do you like reading? I neither like nor dislike reading. But with a storage capacity of 800 quadrillion bits and a total linear computational speed rate of 60 trillion operations per second, I am capable of storing and quickly retrieving any previously read and pertinent information as the situation dictates. About me. Never married. Former father of one with one brief prior relationship. Uploading supplemental about me information. Girl, I fuck like a Gorn. I fuck like a Gorn likes gold lamé shorts. And I got my boner set to crush ass. You take a chance with Big Daddy Data, I'm gonna boldly take that booty where no man has gone before. You ever fuck on a Rise of Pleasure hammock? Shit, I got three of them bitches in my fuck brig. So you better bring your girls. You hear? So what are you waiting for? My ears are cold as a Vulcan in winter, and the only thing that'll warm them up is your thighs. You're disobeying Big Daddy Data's personal prime directive of non-interference with my blow in your mind. So let me show you just how fully functional I am in multiple techniques. Supplemental about me information provided with thanks by Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge.
That was Dating Profiles of the Fictional and Non-Fictional, which brings us to our final... Sorry, guys. Our final segment. Our final segment called Penthouse Letter to the Editor. Everyone was given a letter, a sexy letter, an erotic letter, rather, to the different magazines in the United States. Johnny Taylor, you were given the Today's Christian magazine. John Gamora, you were given Forbes magazine. Jordan Gannon, you were given the Windows 95 Operations Manual. And Jesse Jones, you were given Star Wars Insider to write to. We're going to go ahead and start with Johnny Taylor.
All right. This is a letter to Today's Christian. Mm-hmm. Used to be called the Christian Reader.
Christian Reader.
Dear Editor-in-Chief, I wanted to write regarding the lack of butt stuff in your periodical. Every month I look forward to another hot steaming cup of Son of God sexiness, but I feel it has become repetitive in nature. I can bust off to story after story of miracles, redemption, and men laying with women in a traditional sense, but it will kill you to spice it up a little. I'm talking about butt stuff. Why isn't this subject explored in greater detail? Sure, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, but wouldn't it make the story even juicier if he would have been betrayed with anal? A backdoor betrayal, so to speak. I mean, come on, these stories write themselves. I'll continue to subscribe to the magazine and use it for my primary method of choking the old bishop. But until more angelic asses are explored, I won't be coming as hard. Just saying. Yours in Christ, Glenn Beck.
John Gamora, you were asked to write an erotic letter to the editor of Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine.
Oh, okay. Okay. My name is Bill O'Reilly, no connection. Business mogul from New Hampshire. I didn't think I'd ever get anyone to fuck me, like, ever. But then I realized that after Tom Groenfeldt wrote an article for Forbes about how cash is king, and I was like, shit, I have tons of that. I thought plowing puss would just be a dream. But then one day an Asian man in a black coat and black glasses came up to me looking like the Matrix. Normally I wouldn't associate with the slanty-eyed miso-mongers because they're a threat to the real American money. But what he was offering was something I couldn't turn away. Pussy! He was selling real, not English-speaking, subservient puss. Wow, she was a steal, too. Sure, she can't make mashed potatoes, but she'll learn if I kill her. Thank you.
All right.
Dark.
Oh, boy.
Jordan Gannon, you were to write a penthouse letter to the editor to the Windows 95 operations manual.
Okay, I think I misunderstood the point of the exercise.
Okay.
Dear penthouse.
Okay.
I never thought I would be writing this letter. But then something amazing happened and I just had to tell about it. One day, I was lying on a dusty heap of unused CD-ROMs, a defunct Motorola flip phone, a stack of unread mail from mid-2002, and a Sunset magazine from 1999. On a winter morning when I saw this hot chick with the most bodacious body. I felt myself stiffen, but in a good way, not the I've just been used to catch semen kind of way. And my pages will bond together stiffly kind of way. She noticed, smiled and removed the top button of her coat, confirming my belief that she wanted to learn about my computer or that she was hot. I told her my name. She said she did not want to exchange names. She just wanted to get to know me in other ways. I told her if she wanted to start the Windows 95 tour, she could do so by double-clicking 10 minutes to using Windows and the help contents, which may not be available for all systems. As she hushed and picked me up, like the old, white, acid-free, bound paperback that I am. She hushed me. I said, double-click the network neighborhood icon to see available resources on the network if your computer is connected to one. And she stopped me right there because she was thumbing through my pages, feeling me up like I had never been felt up before in my lonely existence. She asked me a question. At first, I did not hear her because I was moaning with pleasure. I asked her to repeat her question. Can I invite my twin sister over? She asked. I pretended to think about this. Well, you can click the start button on the taskbar to start a program, I began. She gave me that, you're more stupid than you look, look. I hate that look. But then before I could take offense, she licked her lips, removed another button from her tight shirt, and said, we've already started. Do you want to see my twin sister? And I said, yes, the new interface allows for multitasking like never before. Use the taskbar to quickly switch between programs as easily as changing channels on your TV. She went back to exploring my contents, and I began my own special prayer. Windows Explorer is a powerful way to browse through and manage your files, drives, and network connections. Her sister arrived. We moved to the bedroom. Her sister said, it's been a long time. And I said, Windows now supports long file names to make your files easier to organize and find. They both giggled and removed their gloves so they could human touch, human touch, human touch. I do not remember the next few minutes because every time you start a program or open a new window, a button representing that window appears on the taskbar. To switch between windows, just click the button for the window you want. When you close a window, its button disappears from the taskbar. I don't know how long we went at it. It seemed like hours, but judging by past comments from ex-girlfriends, it was probably just minutes before I told them, if you know the name and path of the program you want to start, you can use the run command to start it easily. That was when they put me into a basket labeled recycle bin. I realized then that I was about to get into some serious bondage. The files you delete are put in the recycle bin, a holding place for files you no longer need. They are not actually removed from your hard disk until you empty the recycle bin. I asked the women if their intentions were to retrieve the files deleted in error. They then pulled this move where one girl picks up Sierrasoft games, You Don't Know Jack, and Power Chess and put them on top of me. I stiffened, realized what a vulnerable position I was in. I was completely naked and covered in older disks. One of the hot ladies with the human touch and the ability to hold me like the printed acid-free bound paperback that I am sighed and said that was fun and winked, or tried to get some dust out of her eye. I could not believe what she just said. She walked away, and the last thing I heard from them was giggling, as well as a little babbling as they left the house. I really hoped they would come back for me, but they never did. I know some reading this would have questions like, you call this a sexy letter? Or, you got played, and how did you get out? And what's the easiest way to move and copy files and folders? But I don't really care about those questions. All I know is that Microsoft Windows 95 operating system makes all things you do easier and faster. And what you've always wanted to do is now possible. And until I got recycled, it was the best day of my life, and I will never forget it. Still happy in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Sorry, thank you. I apologize. That's just don't, tedious.
Don't. Don't apologize.
Okay.
Please, don't.
All right.
Just do it. You've been given Star Wars Insider. Mm-hmm. That's a magazine for Star Wars Insight.
Sure.
Penthouse letter to the editor for Star Wars Insider. Mm-hmm. That will finish the show.
Yes. Okay. To the attention of the fiction editor, Star Wars Insider, Titan Magazines. Good day. I would first like to say how much I have enjoyed the fiction pieces in your fine magazine over the years. I myself am a devotee and enthusiast of the Lucasverse and have, as such, enjoyed dabbling in the writing of some of my favorite characters therein. It is with that in mind that I would like to present to you, for your consideration, an excerpt from one of those aforementioned stories. This one being my most well-received to date, a Boba Fett Han Solo slash fiction piece of mine. Previously self-published to the Usenet forum alt.empire.slash. Under the title, Han Always Shoots First. And second. This piece takes place firmly within the canon of the expanded universe that follows the conclusion of Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Shortly after the birth of he and Leia's third child, Anakin Solo, Han finds himself on Endor in the Bright Tree Village at what he believes is the request of one of the Ewok elders. But when he arrives, he finds that his old nemesis, the dastardly bounty hunter Boba Fett, has instead tricked Han into a secret meeting on Endor. A brief physical altercation ensues as Boba tries to explain the purpose for the ruse. Han finally subdues Boba, holding him firmly to a tree at Blaster Point, where we join the story. Give me one good reason not to make soup in your helmet right here, Boba. Han snarled, still panting, a thin glaze of sweat moistening his brow. I'll give you a reason, Solo. Boba's voice shot back in a tinny crackle through his helmet's speaker. Suddenly, and in one deft motion, Boba's hand yanked down the zipper of Han's khaki trousers and took hold of the smuggler's flaccid flesh saber. Han's trigger finger quivered as he let out a quick gasp of surprise and excitement. This is too long coming, Solo, Boba hissed, kneading the Nerf herder's rapidly stiffening cargo in his gloved hand. I sought you so long, first as Jabba's lackey and then as Vader's pawn, all for a bounty they placed on you. But in the end, I fell victim to the bounty you put on me, the bounty you placed on my heart. Without another word, Han reached forward with his free hand, blaster still leveled on Boba, and with a surprisingly knowing hand, found and activated the release of the airtight seal of cod... the airtight seal of the codpiece of Boba's Mandalorian armor. Boba's father's armor. His father's codpiece. Boba was immediately rock hard. Then, to the shock of both men, their moment was abruptly interrupted by the familiar growl of an old friend, as rounding one of the forest moon's many gigantic trees emerged the enormous figure of Chewbacca, striding toward them in a Darth Vader helmet, his pelvis shaved clean, revealing in striking detail his three fully engorged Wookiee dongs. I've got a bad feeling about this, Boba playfully whispered, catching Han's smirk. They all three shared a hearty laugh until all too soon their mouths were far too full for laughter. Please contact me immediately with the issue number in which my story will be featured. I look forward to your reply.
That was Penthouse Letters Editor. One more time for everyone you've seen this evening. Stab is over. sorry.